Today is the 8th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. This is a big day. This is a big announcement at the end of the day. But here at the beginning, today's my mom's birthday. And, she's been gone for 10 years. This would have been her 84th birthday. So thinking of her and honoring her today. My father, he passed away before I ever, I was in the music industry. No intention whatsoever of doing the work that I do now, and had no idea that I could have a passion for it the way that I do. Well, because it's revolutionized my life. But my mom, she did see that transition. She was one of us. So just honoring her today. So let's jump in. We'll pick up where we left off. Obviously, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 through 4, verse 34 today. Solomon loved the Lord and lived according to the statutes that his father David obeyed, except that he sacrificed and burned offerings at the high places. The king used to go to Gibeon to sacrifice, since there was a famous high place there where Solomon once offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. The Lord appeared to Solomon one night in a dream and told him, "Ask me for whatever you want and I'll give it to you." So Solomon said, "You have demonstrated abundant, gracious love to your servant David, my father, as he lived in your presence truthfully, righteously, and uprightly in his heart. In addition, you have kept on showing this abundant, gracious love by giving him a son to sit on his throne today. Now, Lord my God, you have set me as king to replace my father David, but I'm still young. I don't have any leadership skills. Your servant lives in the midst of your people that you have chosen, a great people that is too numerous to be counted. So give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people so I can discern between good and evil. Otherwise, how will I be able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God told him, "Because you asked for this, and you didn't ask for a long life for yourself, and you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies, but instead you've asked for discernment so you can understand how to govern, look how I'm going to do precisely what you've asked. I'm giving you a wise and discerning mind, so that there will have been no one like you before you, and no one will arise after you like you. I'm also giving you what you haven't requested, both riches and honor, so that no other king will be comparable to you during your lifetime. If you will live my way, keeping my statutes and my commands, just like your father David did, I'll also increase the length of your life." And Solomon woke up and realized that he had dreamed a dream. Then he went back to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and threw a party for all his servants. Right about then, two prostitutes approached the king and requested an audience with him. One woman said, "Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. 3 days later, this woman also gave birth. We lived alone there. There was nobody else with us in the house. It was just the two of us. This woman's son died overnight because she laid on top of him. She got up in the middle of the night, took my son from me while your servant was asleep, and laid him to her breast, after laying her dead son next to me. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I examined him carefully in the light of day, he turned out not to be my son whom I had born. Not so, claimed the other woman. The living child is my son, and the dead one is yours. But the first woman said, Not so. The dead child is your son, and the living one is my son. This is what they testified before the king. The king said, One of them claims this living son is mine, and your son is the dead one. And the other claims, No, your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Somebody get me a sword. So they brought a sword to the king. Divide the living child in two, he ordered. Give half to the one and half to the other. The woman, whose child was still alive, cried out to the king because her heart yearned for her son. Oh no, your majesty, she said. Give her the living child. Please don't kill him. But the other woman said, Cut him in half. That way he'll belong to neither one of us. The king announced his decision. Give the living child to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is his mother. When this decision that the king had handed down was announced, everybody in Israel was amazed at the king, because they all saw that God's wisdom was in him, enabling him to administer justice. And so King Solomon ruled over all of Israel. Here's a list of his officials. Zadok's son Azariah was priest. Shisha's sons Elihoreph and Ahijah were his secretaries. Ahilud's son Jehoshaphat was recorder. Jehoiada's son Benaiah commanded the army. Zadok and Abiathar served as priests. Nathan's son Azariah supervised the governors. Nathan's son Zabud, the priest, was the king's counselor. Ahishar supervised palace matters, and Abda's son Adoniram supervised conscripted labor. Solomon also appointed 12 governors over all Israel, each of whom were responsible for providing 1 month's food provisions to the king and to his administration during each year. Here's a list of their names. Ben-Hur, from the hill country of Ephraim. Ben-Daker and Mikaz, Sha'albim and Bet-Shemesh, and Elbonet-Hanan. Ben-Hissed served in Arubod, where he supervised Sokol and all of the territory of Hefer. Ben-Abinadab supervised the Dor Heights. Solomon's daughter Tephath was his wife. Ahilud's son Baanah served Taanach, Megiddo, and all of Bet-Shean near Zeratan, below Jezreel, including from Bet-Shean to Abel-Meholah, as far as the other side of Jokneam. Ben-Geber and Ramoth-Gilead, including the towns that belong to Manasseh's descendant Jair, that are in Gilead. Edo's son Ahinadab served in Mahanaim. Ahimaaz served in Naphtali. He was married to Solomon's daughter Basemath. Hushai's son Baanah served in Asher and Baalot. Peruah's son Jehoshaphat served in Issachar. Elah's son Shimei served in Benjamin. And Uri's son Geber served in the territory of Gilead, the territory formerly ruled by King Sihon of the Amorites and King Og of Bashan. He was the only governor over that territory. Judah and Israel became as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They enjoyed abundance and ate, drank, and rejoiced regularly. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the territory of the Philistines and south to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon throughout his lifetime. Solomon's daily provisions were 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fattened oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and domestic poultry. He ruled over everything west of the Euphrates River, from Tifsa to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates River, and he enjoyed peace on all sides around him. Judah and Israel lived safely And everyone enjoyed their own vine and fig tree from Dan to Beersheba through all of Solomon's life. Solomon owned 40,000 stalls for the horses that drove his chariots, and he employed 12,000 men to drive them. His officers supplied provisions for King Solomon and for everyone who visited King Solomon's palace, each in their respective month of service responsibility. Nothing ever ran out. They also provided barley and straw for the horses and camels to their respective locations, each consistent with their responsibilities. God gave Solomon wisdom and great discernment. His insights were as numerous as sand on the seashore. Solomon was wiser than any of the eastern leaders and wiser than anyone in Egypt. He was wiser than anyone of his day, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, and wiser than Mahol's sons, Chalcol and Darda. His reputation was known throughout the surrounding nations. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. He described trees, everything from cedars that grow in Lebanon to hyssop that grows in a garden wall. He described animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. People came from everywhere to hear Solomon's advice. Every king on the earth heard of his wisdom. Acts 6. In those days, as the number of the disciples was growing larger and larger, a complaint was made by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews, that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. So, the 12 called the whole group of disciples together and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect messages from God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers, appoint 7 men among you who have a good reputation, who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll put them in charge of this work. Then we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This suggestion pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a Gentile convert to Judaism from Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem continued to grow rapidly. Even a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, as well as some Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and men from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and began to debate with Stephen. But they could neither refute the wisdom nor withstand the spirit by which he kept speaking. So they secretly got some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes. Then they rushed at Stephen, grabbed him, and brought him before the council. They had false witnesses stand up and say, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus from Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." Then everyone who was seated in the council glared at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Psalm 126, a song of ascents. The exiles restored. When the Lord brought back Zion's exiles, we were like dreamers. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues formed joyful shouts. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The great things that the Lord has done for us gladden us. Restore our exiles, Lord, like the streams of the Negev. Those who weep while they plant will sing for joy while they harvest. The one who goes out weeping, carrying a bag of seeds, will surely return with a joyful song, bearing sheaves from his harvest. Proverbs 16, 26 and 27. The appetite of the laborer motivates him. Indeed, his hunger drives him on. A worthless person concocts evil gossip. His lips are like a burning fire. Okay, so in 1 Kings, we get this like a really concise overview of Solomon and his reign, like what things look like as he assumes the throne, and his character, his wisdom, his reputation, also the fact that Israel is now like in better order and experiencing prosperity and peace on all sides and among themselves in ways that they have never experienced before. Like, we're beginning to see something that is like the culmination of what we've been reading about this family of Abraham, the Hebrew people, since Genesis. Solomon does bring Israel into its finest hour, like the apex of ancient Israel. And that is what we're reading right now. And we'll see. It sounds unbelievable. It took century after century after century to get there, but they have reached this place where they are respected, at peace, prosperous, and sought out. It just lasts so little, like it's so short. And so let's like revel in where we are in 1 Kings, because this is the finest hour. Also knowing that it's short-lived, and so, you know, they reach the apex and then it's down the other side. And we'll watch all of that too. There's so much for us to learn here. And so let's watch that. And let's watch Solomon. Because how he goes, so goes his country, and well, we'll see that all unfold, but he's just taking the throne now, and he has an overwhelming realization that this job, if he's going to do it before God and do it well, is way too big for him. And so he humbles himself and asks God for wisdom to be able to do the job. And that reveals his heart. And God's response is that he will indeed give him a discerning spirit and wisdom, and he does. But that he will give him everything else that he didn't ask for. And so Solomon is, well, I mean, let's face it. The reign of King Solomon is still famous until today. And so many of the proverbs, the wisdom, so much of the wisdom that we have in wisdom literature, you know, is associated with Solomon in some sort of way. And so we'll see this play out, but let's also notice that Solomon humbles himself before God and asks for what he needs to do the job. We flip over into the book of Acts, and we are watching the formation of the early church as it is spreading throughout Jerusalem. And we see today the early church realizing, in the same way that Solomon did, that this job is bigger than any person can do. And so what was going on is the Greek-speaking believers found themselves in conflict with those with Hebrews because they thought that their widows were being discriminated against, as food is being distributed. And so every issue ends up in the apostles' laps at this point. And so they felt that their mission was to remain focused on sharing the good news of Jesus. And so they invited the community to appoint 7 men to serve and care for the needs of the believers. This is the birth of a function that is typically an ordained function in the church that lasts until today. They appointed deacons to the office of the diaconate. And so we see the birth of this infrastructure or structure of the church, the Christian faith that exists today. So in the Old Testament and New Testament, we found these foundational truths. Without the wisdom of God within us, we most certainly do not have what it takes to navigate life. We most certainly do not have what it takes for leadership. But without each other, we do not have what it takes to thrive and to grow. And so may we invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Give us what you poured out in this world, even through Solomon. Give us an understanding and discerning wise heart. And allow us to be patient and have a servant's heart toward the communities that you've placed us in. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I was mentioning and even talked about it a little last week that there was a pretty big announcement, pretty major addition to what we do at the Daily Audio Bible Shop, and something that, man, I mean, a lot of prayer, first of all, and then really, really a lot of deep, deep research and consideration went into this. And as always, I mean, the things that come and that we pray about and that are inspired and that we then just begin the long process of figuring out how to bring from, you know, an idea to a system of creation to a final outcome. That's often a long time. And I guess in a lot of ways, you know, my life in the music business, that taught me the process of creation, but also like the patience of creation, because it just doesn't happen in a straight line. Healing doesn't happen in a straight line, as it turns out. Neither does creating. And in creating, you gotta always kind of be willing to be an observant person, because you don't know where the next piece that you need or that the next inspiration that will take you the next step is going to come from. Not unlike our spiritual lives, like vigilance and awareness. I mean, this is why we're paying attention to ourselves and the things that we do, so that we can be experts on who we are instead of attempting to be experts on who everybody else is. So, I mean, I digress. Here's the story. I mean, it's been, I guess if I go really, really back and I think honestly, there was this game. I believe it still exists. But when I was very, very young, there was this game called the Un Game. I don't know who made it or where it came from or how it came to be in my house, but it was a game that really didn't have this winning or competition objective. It was a game that had questions that that as a family, right, we would like answer, and it would help us get to know each other better. And then there'd be follow-up questions. We would share some things. And I remember that. And I thought it was stupid until I did it. And I'm talking as a, you know, through the eyes of a child at this point, until we did it. And then I thought it was, I mean, it just made me as a child feel seen and heard. And that was sort of the, you know, that was sort of the objective of it. Fast forward, that kind of concept has been around probably long before any of us were ever born, but it's just continued to grow, especially, you know, as understanding of mental health, as the understanding of the nervous system and the brain and human need and human understanding continues to grow. And spirituality becomes more and more integrated with that knowledge. These kinds of resources, you know, are all over the place. And so Jill and I, it hasn't been a secret. Like we've shared a lot of our own journey of just climbing into a ministry that was going 100 miles an hour on day one. And, you know, waking up 20 years later, having gained so much, but also having sacrificed so much. And some of the things that we lost along the way were, you know, connections to story and how it is we got to where we got. And so we kind of came by this deck of cards, and there are so many of them, but we came kind of by this deck of cards that was really story-based, therapy-based, like mental health-based, kind of developed in that sphere with real intentionality for a couple to kind of, you know, have a way to start a conversation, whether that be a light conversation or whether that be, you know, a difficult or even, you know, a painful thing that it kind of has to be moved into. And we just kind of started doing that and found that to be kind of helpful in the same way that I was just mentioning from childhood. If you have a good listener and you're being heard and borne witness to what you're saying, I mean, that validation of just being understood or being seen, being heard, is a very, very deep, embedded human need put there by God, because we need each other. But more than anything, we need a connection to our source of life. We're made for that. We're made for God. And so Jill and I, it's been a year and a half at least, probably 2 years now, we had just kind of gotten away for a couple of days, found this little place a couple hours from where we live here in Nashville, up on top of a mountain on a cliff face, not a family, like it's not a family place. It's a, you know, more of a couple's place, like a reconnection, place to go. And we found this kind of secret, you know, that is up in the mountains. And we went there and, you know, shut everything off and just focused on each other and the beauty of the nature. And well, it was one of the times that we were, you know, asking each other questions and, you know, telling stories and sharing memories and combining memories of, you know, how we experienced different things that we've experienced over all of the years that we've been together. And when we left there, when we were kind of coming back, we just got to talking about that and that experience and how helpful that can be, just small little tools when they are employed in your relationship, can be monstrously helpful in such a healing and positive way if you're open. If you're not so bitter and full of resentment that it doesn't really matter what tool you have, you know, you're going to burn it down. But if you're open, even the smallest little tool reminds you that you fell in love with this person for a reason. And when you can communicate properly, you remember that, and you remember that you still do. So we got to talking about that, but then that conversation, as often does between she and I, because we're, you know, we talk about the Bible, we talk about our work, the work that we do, we talk about the Bible together, debriefing nearly every day, talking about something spiritual. And so our conversation turned spiritual, and it was like the same type of misunderstanding, the same type of disconnect, the same type of doubt or concern, the same type of bitterness or resentment can and does and is a challenge and a part of our relationship with God. Often we aren't sure why we didn't understand, you know, like how something can happen. We have all these questions, and where do we even begin? We can bring our brokenness. We know we can bring anything that we want to God, but like, what if a really difficult conversation needs to happen? How do you even go there? The same challenges that challenge a relationship, challenge a relationship with God. And so that was the seed. That was like the germination. That was a seed that got planted that then sprouted and began to grow. And ideas, you know, continued to flow around that. It just felt like there was some energy around that. Like, wait a minute. That is really true. And so, like, what if these little tools that kind of, that are conversation starters or that are story starters between a couple, like, wouldn't that same idea work when we don't really know what to say to God? Or when we feel like we've just gotten steamrolled and we can't hear from God, and we actually have some bitter, like we feel injustice. We don't feel like we were protected, or, you know, we can rationalize out anything we want, but the way that we feel is broken and vulnerable. And, you know, that gives some doubt and mistrust. And so how do you step into that? And then moving even beyond that, we started thinking about this from maybe the Lord's perspective. Like, how many weeks has he waited patiently to get one thing through to us that we need to hear, but we aren't open? Our hearts are closed. And we're not listening. And if we're trying to listen, we're listening through some kind of brokenness. I mean, does God want the relationship with us as bad as we need the relationship with him? Would he like to be able to come to us and go, hey, listen, is now a good time to talk about, you know, X? Is now a good time to talk about, you know, what you got going in secret over here? Is, you know, how do we open ourselves to that conversation in the same way that we would want God to open himself to our brokenness? So obviously, I mean, we're talking about prayer here, because that is communication, conversation with the divine. And once we give it that label, like prayer, once we give it that label or that title, then we can realize that there's always been all kinds of resources to teach us how to do that. Just like there's, you know, a gazillion books to tell you how to do marriage right. But no matter how many of those books you read, no matter how much help they may be, and no matter how much therapy you may go through and how many tools you may possess. Man, that is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. Two people are bringing their own unique individual brokenness that is only unto themselves into a warp collider and smashing their lives together in hopes that something new will be created. A oneness that is very hard to come by and very difficult to maintain. And so shouldn't be surprised that our spirituality has its challenges as well. So there are a lot of resources, but I had never really ever heard of like a connection card deck that is specifically conversation starters with God and conversation starters from God, like the right words to open up the hearts and let it flow, which was sort of the next sprout, the next thing. And so we began a process of, and not only consulting from a mental health perspective, but just really drawing on our own personal experiences of spirituality, drawing on our all the ways that we were misguided and how to even understand a conversation with God, all the baggage in the way. And then just started looking in the Bible at people and the questions that come up in the stories. And so months and months and months of research began this process. And at one point I thought, this has to exist. Like, it's one of those things that this has to exist somewhere, right? And there are some things that do exist, but nothing like spiritual connection cards, like the intentionality that what we're looking for is connection, and what we're specifically looking for here is spiritual connection. And I checked that out and found out, no, there really isn't anything like that. So we trademarked that, spiritual connection cards. Began the process of kind of finalizing. And then, of course, there's, you know, packaging, design, flow, layout, manufacturing, like shipping, logistics, like all of these things. So to make something from the inspiration, a little dream, into an actual thing that you can hold in your hand, that I am holding in my hand as I'm speaking to you right now, it's taken a long time and a lot of work, but the first installment of our new line of spiritual connection cards is available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop right now, today. And what you will get is a deck of spiritual connection cards, 54 of them. Half of them are conversation starters or questions from God to you. Something that God might ask that you then need to ponder and open your heart to be able to answer, which is a conversation like that. Then a conversation has begun. And then the other half of the cards are conversation starters or questions to God. And we really drew on the ways that the things that we would suppress, like we allowed these to go there and actually address doubt or confusion or pain or any human emotion that can leave us really exhausted and really confused. And on each one of these cards, you know, obviously scripture is like at the center of the work here. And so each one of these, you know, ties back to the Bible. So works really in harmony with mental health, spiritual direction, relationship, connection, and our relationship with God. And each of these are just very, very intentional. Can't sit here and just kind of read them all, but, you know, questions from, like, what if God asked you, honestly, is it your desire that I meet your expectations, or is it your desire that my will be done? Right? So that is, it's kind of what we're talking about here. And we were just really, like I said, allowed ourselves to go there. This is a very human, very spiritual connection. And so we're launching today something that was a couple of years in the making, and something that we hope to continue to develop. But our first deck of spiritual connection cards can be seen and purchased brand new in the brand new Daily Audio Bible shop. We prayed through everything, so I feel very confident that this was something that we were supposed to do, and I cannot wait. Cannot wait to hear your feedback, to just hear how that has landed with you and what that has meant to you. So you can grab them in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you buy 5 of the decks, we'll send you a 6th one. Like, if you want, if you're like, yeah, I am, I've been looking for this. I'm all over this. And I want to give one to every one of my kids, or I want to give, you know, one to my coworkers, whatever. You get 5 of them, we'll send you the 6th one free. Yeah, we just want to get this resource that was, you know, built and developed around the Global Campfire for us as a Global Campfire community to serve and aid in our spiritual growth and our connection to God and the Bible. I love it. So grateful. And it's been so helpful for me personally, man. There are days, there have been days that things feel so upside down and confusing that even finding language, even finding an entry point, even to just sit, with God, like to find a question that would be from God, from the scriptures, that I can think about and answer, that has guided me when I did not have any direction. And so I look forward to the same thing happening in your life. So whether you're on the new app or whether you're on the web, go to the Daily Audio Bible shop and you will find our spiritual connection cards. I have a whole landing page for it, and so check that out. They are released into the wild today on my mom's birthday. And so, Father, we invite you into this release or launch or opening the gates, opening the floodgates and letting it go out into the world, and ask your blessing upon it, that it will do what you intended it to do, and that it will honor you in every conceivable way. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, my DAB family. This is New Envision Growth out of New York, and I just wanted to pray for Resting in God's Shadow, who prayed a powerful prayer for Richie. It was the part where she said, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, and it certainly does matter. And just because, oh God, she thought it not robbery to put her own needs to the side to pray for someone else. I pray that you would strengthen her and give her every desire and want and need in her life, oh God, 100-fold according to your will. Lord, there are things I'm sure she hasn't told anyone that she takes on herself. And usually people who pray like that for others will put themselves to the side. So I pray, oh God, that you would give her again her heart's desires. I pray anywhere that she may be lacking, oh God, that you would fill her up, fill her afresh, fill her new, oh God. Strengthen her mind, strengthen her faith, Father God. Let her know, oh God, that she is so needed, so appreciated. Let her feel, oh God, that it does matter, oh God. It matters to me, and I'm sure it matters to everyone else, oh God. So just in that, oh God, I pray, oh God, that you would just fill her heart up, oh God, with a joy, an unspeakable joy, that you would allow her to rest, oh God, in your wings. Give her a peace that surpasses all understanding, oh God. Father God, just again, bless her. What a beautiful thing she did interceding. And I thank her. I thank all those who do that, who put themselves to the side to tend to the needs of others through prayer, oh God. Thank you, resting in God's shadow. Love you, family. Bye.
This is Hands to Heaven with another moment from Morning Devotions. Hosea 11:8b. My heart is torn within me. Amazing grace. Some of us lost our loved one after a long uphill battle with their health. We are left with hearts that are twisted and confused by the dichotomy between the sorrow we feel at their loss and the peace we experience that they are now pain-free. When you just can't reconcile the two thoughts, lay them both at the foot of the cross. God's amazing grace covers them both. This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
Hi, this is Phil Justify now in North Carolina. It is a beautiful evening, June 4th in North Carolina. And I just called to say that I've been a dabber for about 6 years now. And back in April of this year, I started listening to the community prayers. And oh, what a blessing it has been. It's been a way for me to feel more connected with this beautiful family of believers all over the world. I get to pray along with more dabbers and listen to how God is answering prayers. On June 1st, I heard Taken with Love from Louisiana on that podcast, and I believe she's the lady who reads the passages about the wonderful names of Jesus, of God, which I enjoy so much, Taken in Love, by the way. She said that she has been added to the list of the ones with a cancer diagnosis. And I believe her diagnosis is of cancer of the esophagus back in February. Well, Taken in Love, I do admire your encouraging outlook. You're choosing to speak life in your situation by saying, I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, Dabbers. I'm praying for all of you in Jesus' name.
Hi, y'all. On June the 4th, Grace filled with something I couldn't hear your last word prayed for me, and I just want to say thank you, sister. Right after your prayer and encouragement, Fish Without Feet was praising God for his wife's amazing cancer victory. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, brother, I rejoice with you. And it hit me when you were testifying that why should we be so surprised? It's exactly what we've been praying and believing. But actually, God probably did more than what we were even hoping. And so what a testimony. And then resting in God's shadow, your prayer for the gentleman who was so transparent was beautiful. I grabbed onto that prayer for myself. I've had some real transparent moments lately, and I needed that prayer. And then Mary from North Carolina, sister, Yahweh, what a beautiful, beautiful story. But I know it's true. I know that That's the first breath we take, and the last breath we will leave this earth with is that Yahweh. It's beautiful. And then the man who called for Anonymous in California, we've all been praying for his marriage, but he has faithfully not brought it up intentionally until he really gets to a place where he feels like he needs us. And so thank you for praying that encouraging message. It sounded like you had some experience in the very thing. I love all of you guys. This is a lifeline. In Jesus' name, I pray all of this over you.
God. Good morning, Tap family. This is God's Life Speaker. It is June 5th. Yes. And I'm listening to Brian's commentary after having read Acts chapter 3. And I just love, Brian, how you challenge us, well, the Spirit challenges us, to stay in the space of faith and peace, embracing the truth and living it out, being bold enough to recognize patterns so that we can change things, and to believe by faith that the source, that the same Spirit thousands of years ago is the same Spirit that lives in me, and therefore nothing is impossible, and that we're called to reach beyond what we can see, beyond what we know and understand. Like there's a place where we need to step over into things that we can't see, and we walk by faith, not by what we see. But as we step into that unseen space, God helps us to see. And then we take another step into that unseen, beyond reaching into space, and God helps us see. And it is a heart work to stay in that space of faith, because we need to pull down lies. We need to stop thinking ungodly thoughts. We need to do the work that guards our heart and allows the Spirit to direct us. Because we can be so messy in our thinking that we're not sure what truth is. And so that's why every morning, His mercies are new. We're invited into a new day. We need to start with Him. So thank you for that teaching, Brian. So good. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can stay in this space of faith. I pray that you would help each one of us to continuously reach forward. And I ask,
hi, DAV family. this is Fred from Western New York. I wanted to lift up a brother in Christ in prayer. His name is Thaddeus Naudin, and he's an older gentleman, went in for a hip operation. There were some complications, and anyway, he almost died, but they were able to get him back. And so I guess that's about all the detail we need now. Just pray for his recovery. And we thank you very much. Have a great day.